CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Nevada is having one of the strangest elections in the nation this week. There's a primary on Tuesday and then a Republican caucus on Thursday.
Nevada's Republican Party saying that state's mandated primary vote won't matter for convention delegates because they wanted their Republican caucus to determine which candidate collects those convention goers. Nikki Haley is listed for today's primary, which, even if she wins against two others who've dropped out, it won't matter. The predominantly Trump-controlled Nevada GOP set up this either-or voting to give Mr. Trump the advantage.
ABC's Andy Field. Initial voting to begin Wednesday on the immigration policy reform bill Senate negotiators concocted, but House Speaker Mike Johnson has promised it won't even get a vote there. The campaign of embattled Philadelphia Sheriff Rochelle Bilal acknowledged that a series of positive news stories posted to their site were generated by artificial intelligence. This is ABC News. House Speaker Mike Johnson may have declared the Senate immigration policy reform bill dead on arrival in the House. Republicans running the chamber are busying themselves with impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Chairman Tom Cole accuses the secretary of ignoring U.S. immigration law.
The evidence supporting these charges should be apparent and obvious to everyone in this room.
Ranking Member Jim McGovern.
This baseless, extreme, unconstitutional impeachment stunt.
The impeachment resolution expected to get a full House vote on Tuesday. Cleaning out the place of a deceased resident in Bellevue, Washington, they found it. A Cold War-era Douglas Air-to-Genie air-to-air missile. Didn't have any fuel in it or a nuclear warhead, which it was capable of carrying. The thing was inert, posing no danger. A neighbor of the homeowner who died plans to restore the missile for display at the Air Force Museum at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man convicted of pepper spraying police officers during the January 6th attack of the U.S. Capitol argues he should get a shorter sentence. Federal prosecutors say 41 months in prison is appropriate, but lawyers for Riley Casper of Pulaski says he's matured over these last 3 years. Casper is set to be sentenced on Tuesday. Democratic presidential primary voters in Wisconsin will have a choice after the state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to appear on the April ballot. Phillips says the justices made the right call for democracy.
It's so much less about my campaign and just so much more about how we Americans practice democracy and whether we should allow our two big parties to suppress it.
Phillips on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a 3-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number 2-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball, and I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones, and you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy and some patchy fog in the overnight with light winds and upper 20s expected by daybreak. Morning fog will give way to a partly cloudy sky late Tuesday. High temperatures warming to the lower 40s. We'll have a light south breeze. Right now it's 28.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always call. You can text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, we have a very busy show for a Monday. Lots of stuff coming up. Journal Sentinel reporter Quinn Clark dropped this story on Friday about the Waukesha GOP paid an anti-LGBTQ plus preacher to canvass, according to campaign finance records. So we're going to find out a little bit more what that is all about. Again, this dropped on Friday morning. We didn't get around to it. It dropped right before the show started. Yep. But we did have some Waukesha parents who kind of been keeping me in the loop on this. It's important.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that's been going on with Waukesha County Schools and all those kinds of things. So Quinn Clark will be joining us here, hopefully in studio, coming up at 10:33. At 11:06, from the Institute for Reforming Government, Quentin Claiborne is a senior research director there. And there's a program being suggested. It's a teacher apprenticeship program.
Yes.
And so from what I understand, teachers would be spending less time in a classroom for learning how to teach and more time actually in a classroom learning how to teach.
Yeah. I was an apprentice.
You were a teacher's apprentice?
I was a barber's apprentice. Hey, you still get a cape.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was that the motivating factor? The cape?
65-70%. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice cape.
I can absolutely appreciate the cape. Yes. And again, so that's coming up. The DOT, you were gone when Luke Mathers and I talked about this. Secretary Pete, Secretary of Transportation, Buttigieg came out saying that they were going to start clamping down on punny DOT signs because they were distracting. Now, that may not be. They may be lightening up a little bit on that. I think they're hilarious.
So that those suggestions of hit the road?
Would stay.
Hit the road.
Jack.
The get rid of it would hit the road.
Oh, I see.
Apparently getting rid of punny signs is gone from here, from Matt and Air on Air. I'm going to blame Luke Mathers for that.
We'll do a Grammy recap. The Grammys were last night.
Yep, some indeed.
Pretty standout performances and some standout moments. So that will be coming up later on in the show. We wanted to start out, though, with weather. We're going to have our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, will be joining us hopefully on Wednesday.
She will be here on Wednesday?
She will be here Wednesday. Yep. Excellent. To talk about the 50-degree weather we're going to have. 50 degrees on Wednesday. They're saying on Thursday, even warmer, 51.
I saw as high as 54.
51 on Friday. Saturday, 43.
I mean, this...
It's not supposed to be this warm. It's only the beginning of February.
I was expecting, like, last week to be the end of it, and then next week, or this week, and then the next week would be, all right,
back to reality.
Here comes 1 degree again. 50 below zero.
Because I don't think we're not out of the woods as far as that is concerned.
I mean, we might not be out of the woods, but we definitely have less of it going to be happening then. I mean, we might get some of it in March, but usually March is when it starts to pull back and it starts to stay in those 19s and 20s. I don't remember getting like hard cold snaps in March.
No, but we can still get snow in May.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm not even talking about snow. Like
just,
snow,
just the temperature.
The temperature, yeah, because snow, yeah. I mean, I remember the snowstorm of 91, May of 91.
The trees just got, it was horrible. Yeah. The amount of tree damage, it was terrible. Because everything was just starting to bud out, and then you got that nice, wet, really super heavy snow, and it did so much damage, and even to the like fruit growers, fruit tree growers. So hopefully that's not going to be the case. I guess the one thing we can be really grateful for is we're not Southern California.
No, nothing. We're not hating on California, but the weather there, it's just.
I feel so badly. I genuinely do. A considerable flooding threat across all of Southern California. They have this atmospheric river that is essentially pulling all of this moisture from the warmer waters as it starts to move in. And then when it hits the mountain ranges in California, from what I understand, and we can ask Brittany more about this on Wednesday, once it hits the mountains, then it draws air up, and then it either turns into snow or rain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking 14 inches of rain.
Yeah, it's no longer like, because when I heard last week, my first thought's always, oh, California just seems to be in a perpetual drought. So the weather's...
This'll be good.
They need the rain. They're like, no, they can't handle this much rain. The volume is just... Absolutely, it's destructive.
Oh, I mean, flooding is one of the more destructive things in nature.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing we have to deal with too. When we have these huge changes in temperature, we get a big snowstorm, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, it's 35, 40 degrees.
And everything melts.
Everything melts and starts flooding. And
the water has nowhere to go.
And you gotta, I've said it before and I'll say it again. And I used to say this too. I used to be all about like, oh man, 35 degrees in February, I'll take it. This is not good.
Because of the different, there are so many ramifications.
Yeah.
There are so many ramifications when we don't get the amount of cold that we normally have.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that need to be killed off with a heavy frost. We don't want to encourage bugs that are not native to here to start moving up because it's becoming so nice and mild now during the winter. But in Los Angeles, more than 14 million people are under the higher risk level for excessive rainfall. I know there were areas of San Diego that had to be evacuated.
Oh my gosh.
Because again, you get 14 inches of rain, you just can't absorb that.
Yeah, and I don't know if those, I don't want to say the houses aren't built to take it, but like, yeah. They can't, I mean, they must not have, the people aren't going to be used to it either. So you know what you have to evacuate. You have to get out. Where you go, because it's going to be happening all up and down the coast. It's Southern California.
You got to try and get high.
Yeah.
But then when you do that, then you have the additional issue of landslides and mudslides.
Jeez.
when there's this much water. Los Angeles on Sunday experienced the wettest day in almost 20 years. It got more than a month's worth of rain in 24 hours. A month.
And I'm sure for what California can. What California needs in rainfall as far as when they have droughts, the land can't take that water and properly take it in and distribute it to what it needs. It's just going to fall through, destroy things, and eventually probably drain into the ocean.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been flooded, and I've been flooded three times, four times, and I was lucky because that was just our basement.
Yeah.
I can't imagine if you don't have a basement and your entire first floor has three and a half feet of water in it, because when our basement flooded, one of the times we had 2.5 feet of water in the basement. It's really It really throws you off when you walk downstairs and you see things floating across the room.
The first thing I think about is just, you know, you walk out of the bedroom, you walk downstairs, and that feeling of your pajama bottoms hitting water and just sticking to your ankles, being like, what's going on? No.
Oh, but you can hear it.
Yeah.
You can, yeah, what's little waves are lapping at the stairs.
I've never had flooding. I've never had that.
It's not good.
Oh, I trust me, I'm not hoping. I'm not hoping for the experience.
So, and again, we were fortunate. A lot of this was just the sump pump couldn't keep up with all the rainwater. But in some of these instances, now you're talking about sewer backups. And again, with all of this additional water, it's, I feel for those folks.
Yeah.
I really do. A man in Northern California killed Sunday. A redwood tree fell because of the high winds.
Jesus.
They're not blaming the incident on the weather, but the winds were gusting to almost 50 miles an hour at the time when the tree fell. And now, too, this is leading to all kinds of power outages all across Southern California.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I just...
Well, if you know folks out there and you can help them out, because this, again, is going to be... These natural disasters take a while to recover from. It's not like... You come back in 2 days and you wipe it out and we're all good to go.
Well, the other thing too, and we talked about this last summer with regard to the wildfires in Canada, this is just going to be something we're now going to have to get used to, these levels of destructive events.
Tragically.
And it introduces a whole new level of problems for people who, especially in California now, do they have to build an do they have to add on, create, or change the infrastructure to be able to take that kind of water, maybe direct it into the ocean? Like, how is California going to deal with this? Or are they just going to say,
it is what it is.
It is what it is, and we're going to let it happen. There's nothing we can do about it. Because with insurance companies cutting off or not insuring houses for flood, fire, all those things.
Hurricanes.
I mean, not to mention paying some of the top dollar value on homes.
Yeah.
I, you know, there was a time I wanted to live in California. There isn't, you honestly, if you said, here's a free house in San Diego, I'd say, no, thank you.
I used to want to live by the water.
Yeah.
Always. I always wanted to live by the water.
I live 2.5 miles away from it. That's perfect.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Well, think of all the poor folks who, even in Pleasant Prairie along Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And the erosion on the cliffs there. Well, they have homes in Pleasant Prairie that are dangling.
I had a geology class a long time ago, and no, it was a natural science class. And my teacher, she said that we weren't meant to have homes in those areas because that's, like you said, that's an erosion zone. And it might not be, you know, you might buy that house and it might not be today. It won't be tomorrow. It might not even be 5 years.
Right.
But you live there 20, 30 years.
Ultimately.
The earth's going to win. Nature wins every single time. That's just all there is to it. You just put that up there. Tony Lone Tree put on the live stream, but there's no global warming.
Well, right. And thanks for that, Tony.
Yeah.
And because
exactly.
And you know what happens then is the next time it snows.
Yeah.
We'll have some lawmaker standing in the house holding a snowball saying, see, this proves there's no global warming.
And then you say, sir, do you know the difference between weather and climate? No, you do not. Sit back down. Jim from Appleton said we should make It Never Rains in California as our bumper music for today. And, of course, Andrew from Maine, welcome to the show again. Will Miss Merlot have the opportunity to show off her favorite barometer? Less snow leaves more time for show and tell. I mean, that's true. She might come on the show and be like, yeah, it's nice out.
Yeah, and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But we do have to get a closer look at her barometer collection, I think.
You say that. It sounds creepy when I say that out loud.
I will posit that to her. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, will be joining us on Wednesday. Stay with us. Is the DOT done with puns? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And just a reminder to download the incredible Civic Media app.
How much is that app,
it
Jane?
It is absolutely free.
I think you're a liar.
No, it's free. And
it's $200.
And you know what you can do from the incredible Civic Media app?
I think you can call and or text us.
Directly.
Whoa.
I know. It's the snappiest of apps. So download the Civic Media app.
It might not. You do it better.
It probably won't change the course of your entire life, but it shouldn't make it worse.
Yeah.
The Civic Media app. All right, we were just talking about all the rain they're having in California, the fact that it's going to be 51 degrees here in Milwaukee, or Milwaukee, Waukesha area, southern Wisconsin, come Wednesday, Thursday. Carmela from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Carmela. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yes, happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday.
Talking about bizarre weather-related things, last Wednesday I pulled over into the parkway. I was nibbling on a lunch and listening to you guys. And,
well, thank you.
Yeah. And I look over on my side view mirror, I hit the window cracked, and there was a mosquito, an actual mosquito. And I looked again, and I went to grab my camera to take a picture of it, and then it flew away. But I was like, no, it cannot be early February, a mosquito.
That's not supposed to happen, Carmela.
Well, that's been fun, this last show before the apocalypse. We are done here. Locusts are next. And
now it's the arrival of the winter mosquitoes in southeastern Wisconsin. That's crazy.
It was by itself, and it landed on my side view mirror, and I'm like, no, that is not. And I'm looking again. I'm like, no, that's a mosquito.
Yeah, things are...
Have a great week, guys.
You too, Carmela. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much.
Oofers.
That's not good. We're going to have to reach out to PJ Leash, our bug guy.
All right.
At the University of Madison, right, and find out what insecticidal horrors are coming our way.
Hey,
this continues.
We're not Australia.
That's true.
Where that mosquito would have been like 14 pounds and broken off her side view mirror. I mean, we're good there.
That is true.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can always join us, 844-967-2789. This I saw in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning from Claire Reed. Funny pun-filled DOT signs probably aren't going away in Wisconsin after all.
Oh, thank God.
Now, you and your beautiful wife were on vacation a couple of weeks ago.
Correct.
And Luke Mathers was here, and we talked about this. The Federal Department of Transportation came down with this ruling that these punny signs were distracting people. And, you know, so we're going to have to get away from that. And some of the messages included, that's the temperature, not the speed limit. Texting and driving, autocorrect yourself. And camp in the woods, not in the left lane. Which I love, especially if you're driving down Blue Mount Road.
Wow. You're just very nonchalant there.
People love the messages, says David Carnes. He is the Traffic Systems and Management Engineering Chief with the Wisconsin DOT. He works with a committee monthly to craft the messages. He said people often come up to him at social events and tell him how much they like the messages and ask questions about them. Yes.
I don't think they're, I mean, I here's the thing. At the end of the day is I understand why they think it might be distracting, from reading it to maybe giggling to saying, hey, that sign just said, I get that. But I also do a study first. How many accidents happen because of
these signs
versus the speeding, the texting and driving, the slow driving, falling asleep behind the wheel? That's what I want to know, because I don't know. I get it, but man, can we have some fun while driving?
Well, and when Luke was here and we were talking about this, all I could think of was, is the Department of Transportation really that much of a a barrel full of chuckle monkeys? Can we give these people a chance to have an outlet for some fun? Have you gone into your local DMV lately? Those people need some fun.
I think you're great people at the DMV. I don't want to say one way or the other. I feel like what Jane said might make you mad,
too. It's not an insult in any stretch of the imagination. But again, I just think this is the one area where they get to do something a little bit lighthearted.
Yeah.
And now you're going to squash it.
I don't know. It just seems like it came out of nowhere, too. We got a comment on the live stream from a friend of the show, Scott McCallan.
Hey, Scott.
The only argument for quote unquote distracting signs I can think of is that people taking pictures of the signs while driving, which you have to be fast to do that.
Very fast.
Yeah.
I see people with their phone on the wheel.
Yeah.
Which drives me crazy.
I don't know. So the only time I ever use my phone while driving, only time, is when I'm changing music, and I do it like, I can do it without even looking, because I don't use my phone for texting. I don't use my phone for calling. If I do, it's hands-free. I've gotten real old. It's like when I see people driving while texting.
It's terrifying.
And not even like doing the thing of like the look in the, look at the phone, look at the road, look at the phone. They're just looking at their phone. And that's where we're at nowadays. And it just seems like that's almost accepted.
It's still illegal.
It's absolutely illegal, but I don't know how cops can prove it when they pull you over, other than, you know, like if you're, unless they see you or you're swerving and they give you a field sobriety test to be like, well, you weren't drinking, so you must have been texting while driving. Papa Rico says to us, the DOT should stay in their lane.
Boom.
And we got a text message from Lynn, Lynn from Oconomowoc.
Hello,
how you
Lynn.
Doing, sweetie? She said, hey, Greg, I'm not real tech savvy. Can I get the podcast through the app, or do I have to get them through the website? Okay, so you can't get them through the app. You can get them through the website, but you can also go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, whether it be Google, Spotify, Podbean. You can go find us there and then subscribe, and we will be downloaded to your phone twice a day because we split these episodes into two pieces.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can auto-download them. You can listen to them whenever you want.
Do that, people.
Do what I said. Technology.
Thanks for Greg said.
Thanks for reaching out, Lynn, and thanks for the wonderful comments, everybody.
Absolutely. And if you do listen to the podcast, we would love it if you'd leave comments, or you could review them.
5-star review actually goes a real long way to letting people know about the show. So, also. Listeners, you're really pretty. You're really pretty today. Thank you.
Okay, you're freaking me out now.
What? Little confidence booster.
All right. We're all really pretty today.
Yeah.
And on that note, news is coming up next. When we return, joining us in studio, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Quinn Clark is here to talk about a story she dropped on Friday about the Waukesha GOP and who they hired to do some door knocking. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away, cause I'll be back on my feet someday. Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good. Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go. That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. What you say? Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Tom Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Nevada is having one of the strangest elections in the nation this week. There's a primary on Tuesday and then a Republican caucus on Thursday.
Nevada's Republican Party saying that state's mandated primary vote won't matter for convention delegates because they wanted their Republican caucus to determine which candidate collects those convention goers. Nikki Haley is listed for today's primary, which, even if she wins against two others who've dropped out, it won't matter. The predominantly Trump-controlled Nevada GOP set up this either-or voting to give Mr. Trump the advantage.
ABC's Andy Field. Initial voting to begin Wednesday on the immigration policy reform bill Senate negotiators concocted, but House Speaker Mike Johnson has promised it won't even get a vote there. The campaign of embattled Philadelphia Sheriff Rochelle Bilal acknowledged that a series of positive news stories posted to their site were generated by artificial intelligence. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gray wolves will stay under federal endangered species protections. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's going to focus on a national wolf strategy plan. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says that means the state's wolf management plan will stay the same. It bans wolf hunting until the population in Wisconsin is well over 1,000. February is Black History Month. Black leaders in Wisconsin say the fight for equality is as relevant as ever.
All these years later, in 2024, that we've got people who are trying to undermine efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion to lift people up who've had challenges trying to live out that simple American dream.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Civic Media's Earl Ingram Show. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy and some patchy fog in the overnight with light winds and upper 20s expected by daybreak. Morning fog will give way to a partly cloudy sky late Tuesday. High temperatures warming to the lower 40s. We'll have a light south breeze. Right now, it's 28.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people gonna say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin is on the board coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. Just a reminder to tune in from 8 to 10 across Civic Media, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Really wonderful program all about entertainment and movies, and I'm sure he'll be talking some Grammys tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for some company from 8 to 10 p.m., all across the Civic Media Radio Network, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great show. I highly encourage you to check it out. Very excited to have our next guest in studio with us. Quinn Clark is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for driving out here. I appreciate it. You dropped a story on Friday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the headline reads, Waukesha GOP paid anti-LGBTQ plus preacher for canvassing according to campaign finance records. So I'm curious, Quinn, what led you to this story? How did you even begin to find out about this?
Yeah, so a local community organizer who also has a pretty big social media following and parent, John Norcross, actually asked me to look into it, and it stood out to him because he was actually present for the Watertown Pride in the Park protests. So the payment stood out to him, and he asked me to look into it.
Well, and I think what's interesting, and we've talked about this before, especially in regard to some of these parents groups and some of these parents' right groups and Moms for Liberty and all of those mm-hmm. groups tend to portray themselves as completely grassroots, coming from the ground up. And I think sometimes when you look a little bit more closely, there is more coordination going on behind the scenes than people realize. So what did you find out? This is regarding a gentleman called Marcus Schroeder, correct? Or Schrader?
Yes. Marcus Schrader, I believe.
Marcus Schrader.
Yes.
Republican Party of Waukesha County paid him $600 mm-hmm. for solicitation expenses last October. The Waukesha County GOP said it was to compensate him for his canvassing. Some community members, as you reported, Quinn, worry the party would work with someone known for his anti-LGBTQ plus protests and his views. So what do we know about Marcus Schroeder? Where are his ties within the community?
Yeah, well, he's 20 years old. When he was 19, I actually first spoke to him, but he can be seen at multiple protesting pride events, drag queen story hours. And he's a part of the ministry Operation Save America and the church, Mercy Seat Church in Brookfield.
And Mercy Seat Church is headed by Matt Trujillo.
Yes, he is the pastor.
Now, anyone who is my age, and I'm 64, I've known Matt Trujillo's name for a long time. He was very involved originally in the anti-abortion movement, correct?
Yes, he was originally involved in the anti-abortion movement, and that is something that is still a part of Operation Save America's messaging and a part of people like Marcus's protests and views. So abortion is still very much one of their topics at the forefront. But as of lately, you can see them at a lot of Pride events.
So they're organizing to protest at Pride events.
Yes, they can be. Yes, they can be seen doing that. And they also, Marcus also leads training sessions. I don't know about recently, but I know in the past he has led a training session to teach other young people how to debate their stance against homosexuality.
One of the things that made it very interesting when I read the article is I've been working in the LGBTQ community for a long time, and I've seen all sorts of protesters. And usually when you see a quote-unquote leader, they're like an older gentleman. This Marcus is 20.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a 20-year-old kid. And by all accounts, being paid by the GOP in some instance, and also training other young kids how to stand at these events. And I mean, not just debate, but it looks like in the article, he has been known for some other tactics as well. He's not just about getting into someone's face and saying, this is why I don't believe in homosexuality. He will do what he want, do what he can to try to disrupt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what you're referring to, one could speculate that was his goal when he allegedly called in a bomb scare to the Watertown Pride in the Park event. He did plead not guilty to that, but allegedly he did call in and say that a bomb was set to go off.
Now, he is still facing charges for this,
yes.
Correct? Quinn Clark is our guest. She is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, dropped a story on Friday. Waukesha GOP paid anti-LGBTQ plus preacher to canvass, according to campaign finance records. Quinn, in your article, you do mention that the Waukesha GOP says, we don't know what people do in their off time, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know that he was a protester against anti-LGBTQ plus. We just hired him to knock on doors.
Yes, they explained, you know, we hire dozens of door knockers and dozens of canvassers, and we don't look into their personal lives.
It's even said in the article, too, Julie, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Rice, even brought the concern up to an elected official, and they said, there's no connection whatsoever. It's like, it's almost like they're all saying, nope, we don't know. We have no idea. No clue whatsoever. And
which raises questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just
raises... Which brings the article.
Hence the article.
Yeah.
So how did you go into it? Was it a FOIA request? Is that how you found the records?
Actually, their campaign finance records are public. Anyone can see them online. But the person that did point my attention to this was John Norcross.
You mentioned him in here as well. John Norcross asked the public investigator team to look into the GOP party of Waukesha County's payment. After seeing it in the filings, he said the payment stood out because he was there at the Watertown Pride events when Mercy Seat protested it. I don't know enough about campaign finance. You have worked for campaigns mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
Is paying people to knock on doors, is that standard operating procedure?
I mean, so I will be totally honest, full disclosure, all the campaigns I've worked for have been from, liberal campaigns, and we generally would grassroots organize volunteers. Anybody we pay would usually be organizers that would come in to get the volunteers together and make them work. But yes, it isn't uncommon to pay people to knock on doors, hand the material, saying, hey, here's your route, here's the material, knock on doors, leave it, talk to them, whatever. Because
it's part of the machine.
And sometimes it's the only way you can get people to come out and do this because you pay them. So
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. David from San Francisco is on the line. Good morning, David. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, morning. Yeah, I'm reminded of, you remember Roger Stone and Paul Manafort. The two creeps that were, keeping America intertwined in the Ukraine when Trump was in office. Roger Stone and Paul Manafort were running coups ever since the 1960s when they were like teenagers working for the GOP. So, and they went on to create a corporation that, they had a business license basically to run coups. They had six successful coups in Africa and the Middle East, or I guess you'd say Eastern Europe after the fall of the Soviet Union. And let's see, I'm trying to remember. Roger Stone was one of the dirty tricks guys.
Oh, he embraced that title. He was a political dirty trickster. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, David. Really appreciate you calling. Andrew from Maine on the text line. I get the impression the GOP doesn't look into the personal lives of their candidates, let alone a temporary employee who's just knocking on doors.
Well, and that was the thing that surprised me. If they're going to pay someone to knock on doors, I get that. That's an independent contractor. Are you here? Can you knock on doors? Here's your money. Goodbye.
Right.
But they even said in there, like, we don't know the lives of our employees either. Like, you'd think that they would want to know those.
I would think vetting would be a really important part for any organization.
Yeah. But
Quinn Clark is with us in studio. She wrote an article for the Journal Sentinel that dropped on Friday talking about the Waukesha County GOP and this person that they hired to knock on doors, who turns out has pretty strong connections to a church in Brookfield that also has very prominent anti-LGBTQ plus beliefs. This isn't the first time this Marcus Schroeder was connected to the Waukesha GOP. They were listed as the original location for a training night for Warriors for Christ. So, Quinn, what is Warriors for Christ?
Right. So that is through the ministry Operation Save America. And that was organized by Marcus. It was basically an event that was planned to train any young person that signed up how to debate their stance against homosexuality.
So again, he was hired by the Waukesha GOP to hold these trainings?
No. That I do not know.
Okay.
Just seemed like they used the space.
Well, that was listed as the original location. Yeah. So on the website, in order to sign up to be a part of the training night, it said that the location was the Waukesha County GOP headquarters. That was the original location. Later on, that was changed.
Gotcha.
I think the final location that was decided upon was a church.
Yeah. I mean...
Again, the reason we bring some attention to this is because... Not everything is grassroots. Not everything is actually coming from just a group of moms who got together.
Who are worrying about their kids.
Who are worried about their kids. Sometimes it does seem like there is some coordination behind the scenes in order to further one message over another.
Yeah. And this is not, of course, not stated in the article. This is just from my own experience. Usually when it comes to things like pro-life groups, anti-LGBTQ groups, and, you know, those types of topics, they're usually really well funded. They get a lot of money and they usually get it fast, and they get a lot of people who will travel to do the work. I mean, they have to pay them, it seems like,
right?
But it always seems like they're very well funded.
It does also seem just a little disingenuous, again, Waukesha GOP saying we don't know what our volunteers and our people do in their private lives. This Marcus Schroeder also led the opening prayer at the Waukesha GOP's Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner last year. The chairman of the Waukesha GOP introduced him.
Yeah. That honestly doesn't surprise me either personally. It does surprise me that they added the name Trump to it, because I think before it was just, they that not used to have the name Trump on there, but that's the world we live in. The article was fantastic to read, by the way. It was really, thank you for writing it up and researching this.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And how long have you been working for the Journal Sentinel?
A couple years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you always want to do investigative reporting?
Yes. Yeah. That was the goal for a long time. I started off as a suburbs reporter, and just recently, in the past 6 months, I am writing for the investigative section.
That's fantastic.
That's really exciting.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
It is, and I'm delighted to see a younger person in journalism, because it's so important. Local journalism is the lifeblood of democracy, and if we don't have people watching the big people, that's how they get away with too much stuff.
Yeah. Well said.
Oh, thank you. Only I could write like Quinn does. We will link her article in our show notes.
Yes, absolutely.
After the podcast goes up, Quinn Clark, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Stay close. We will be back. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this
way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, shoulda or Oriel made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave. I'm in the fall in my way, cause God made no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't let yourself and regret, cause love yourself and yourself. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way, yeah. Oh, there ain't no other way.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Kelsey on the board. You can always join us, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
It's Cal B, and it's party.
I can call him whatever I want.
That these nicknames are bunk!
Or leave a comment on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking with Quinn Clark, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Story dropped on Friday about the Waukesha GOP hiring a person to knock on doors who also has ties to what seems to be a very anti-LGBTQ plus anti-abortion church that's based in Brookfield, which also has some interesting ties. Matthew Truhella is the pastor of this church who was in the news off and on over the decades, specifically for his anti-abortion views. And so we were just talking to Quinn about her article and the Waukesha GOP essentially saying, well, we don't know what he does in his private life. We just hired him to do this.
Yeah, but seem to be doing that too. And it's, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, I have to remind myself that the GOP party, the GOP, because that's redundant, they're not exactly shy with their beliefs. So the fact that they would have people on payroll or be associated, I should say, too, with those who have problems with queer folks, to say the least, is not surprising. It's not going against brand.
There's, no, not at all.
So it's just, you know, it just really bothers me. In this day and age, in 2024, there's still people out there who have such a deep-rooted fear and hostility towards another group of people who are just trying to live their lives, raise their kids, work, pay their taxes, but for some reason, you feel the need, you have to go to an event and scream in people's faces about it. I'll never, ever understand it.
And it also raises questions, as we've talked before, about what is genuinely a grassroots movement.
Yes.
And what is actually happening behind the scenes to make it seem like it's a grassroots movement with all kinds of support.
Yeah.
Right? 844-967-2789. We have a couple of texts, Greg.
Yeah, we got one from Andrew from Maine. Says, I get the impression the GOP doesn't look into the personal lives of candidates, let alone a temporary employee to knock on doors. And then also, no surprise that, and you'll love this, the Wisconsin Boing Boing Boys Club, that's what he called it, the Wisconsin Boing Boing Boys Club, said they don't look into the personal views. They couldn't very well go with the standard disclaimer of the views expressed by those we hired to spread our views are not endorsed or condoned by the party. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the GOP probably was just like, yeah, we don't care. Why should we care?
You may want to consider a little more vetting.
Yeah.
Just a thought. I mean, Christian Ziegler in Florida comes to mind.
I mean, just a little more buffering. A couple more buffers.
May want to take a closer look.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Dave from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I wanted to bring up something that hasn't been mentioned yet. As far as I know, there was no election last November, right?
Correct.
That is correct.
Thank God.
Okay, so what canvassing was he being paid for in October if there was no election? So I'm fully willing to admit I organized the rally for Melissa Temple in front of the school district of Waukesha's administration building last year. Marcus was there with like five people with pro-life signs, which was odd, especially at a hearing for a teacher that's being fired for a song by Miley Cyrus and Dolly.
Yeah, that was Rainbow Lands. Right.
Choice.
Right.
Right. Right. But he was also at a P-Flag Waukesha picnic, which is an advocacy group and a group in support of the LGBTQ community. He was there with like 40 people, and I was at that to support friends. And it got me thinking, is he being paid for or paid by the GOP to lead these protests and demonstrations instead of actually being feet on the ground, knocking door to door?
I mean, that's an absolute it's a speculation. We don't know at this point, and I don't want to get into any sort of deep conspiracies. But remember something. Even in November, they're still against gay people. They're still against abortion. They're still against a whole host of things. And they're going to send people to knock on doors and put stuff in your mailer, which, by the way, is illegal, but put stuff on your door, knock on doors to get signatures for candidates or whatever. So the fact that they were knocking on doors in fall doesn't seem that crazy, because those issues for them never have an election cycle. They just ramp up during election cycles. And at the end of last year, like towards that fall, we were really dealing with drag queen bingo and
drag queen story hours.
Trans kids, protect your kids from the evil trans people, because they're gonna take your children's livelihoods. So whether he was knocking on doors or not, I don't know. But if he was in the fall, that wouldn't be surprising either.
Well, and Dave, I think too, and we were talking about this earlier. It does raise questions again about how organic these movements are, and I think we would all just like a little more light on that, right?
Yeah, you know, I wish the GOP would have answered more than just in a statement to Quinn about we don't look into the private lives. Like, it just, there was no explanation. I feel like the people of Waukesha County deserve more than what we received from them. And I think it just brings up a lot of questions moving forward as to what their intentions are. And very frankly, I think it's disconnected from the regular people of Waukesha who don't care who you love or who you are, who you're with. They just want good neighbors. Most people feel that way.
I don't disagree with you, Dave. And thank you so much for calling. It's always good to hear from you. At the end of the day, though, it's the GOP. It's not the people. It's the party of Trump. And they stand for now nothing but the highest level of division and the highest level of antagonizing. And so this is what we have to, I don't want to say get used to, but this is what's happening right now with that party. And a lot of people who 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago said, this is crazy, this isn't my party, have signed on because it's the only way they can survive.
Kind of homeless politically.
Yep, exactly. They're rhinos if they don't. And that's unfortunate. Maybe there needs to be a center party, rhinos and dinos. those Democrats and those Republicans who don't feel at home in either party. They're just like, hey, you guys want to get together and have a cup of coffee and talk? Sounds good.
That would be a starting point, wouldn't it? Stay with us. Coming up, we have news on the way. When we return, we're going to talk about the teacher apprenticeship program being kicked around in Wisconsin. What would it do? Would it be good? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a solid thing.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.